Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. I'm your host, Max Chalock, alongside my co-host, Dalton Wassman. Producer Eli, I believe, is back in the Cincinnati studio right now. Forgot to remind him, as you can tell, I'm not in Cincinnati right now. I'm back home in Jersey doing a, you know, see my family a little bit, Dalton, before the draft season really picks up, and I'm kind of, you know, hunkered down for the next month or two. So I'm back in Jersey right now. I unfortunately forgot to remind Eli, who I think is in Cincinnati right now in the studio. But yeah, man, I've got another mock draft for you guys. Post-free agency edition. Obviously, a lot of moves in NFL free agency that would alter the 2024 NFL draft in significant ways. So we're going to see how it altered the NFL draft and go over what we think the NFL draft, the first round, will look like right now after the first wave of free agency. All right, we've got the PFF mock draft simulator pulled up right now. Of course, you can find it at pff.com, one of our best tools that we have right now, put together by some excellent engineers. And of course, Trevor Sikkema's big board, which is, I mean, he's probably the best draft analyst in the game right now, in my opinion. But I'm a little bit biased there. But number one pick right now. So we're going to take, I'm going to take the odds in this one because last time I took the evens one. So Dalton will take the evens. And of course, we'll have Eli sending his pick for the Cincinnati Bengals when they come up there. Actually, Dalton, you might be doing a move with the Bengals a little bit. We'll tease that a little bit, but you sent me a text a couple nights ago that kind of was interesting to me, at least. But here at number one, there is no debate anymore. So they traded away Justin Fields. He is now on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They gave him away for a sixth round pick, basically, which can turn into a fourth round pick if, of course, he plays 51% of the snaps. But anyways, he's gone now. Now they take Caleb Williams. This is a pretty slam dunk pick, in my opinion. If you look at the betting odds right now on DraftKings, he is minus 3,500 to be the number one overall pick, which in terms of percentage-wise basically means there's a 97% chance that Caleb Williams will be the first overall pick. So I'm taking Caleb Williams here. I don't think there's much of a discussion to be had over this pick. It seems like they're pretty much running this in pen now as the number one pick for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it's kind of the overwhelming conclusion, right? 97% would tell you that. And it's kind of what's been foretold the whole time here, even though I do think you could have some arguments about it. I've been in that boat where the top three guys are all really, really close in talent. But if they have their sights set on Caleb, and trust me, everyone here in the city of Chicago is ready for it, that's in all likelihood what the pick is going to be. So I get it. They just got Keenan Allen. They're starting to really load up at receiver. I think they could even look at another receiver in this draft if one falls to them. It's possible, or this draft is loaded on receiver, but I think one more Caleb Williams plus one more weapon would really, really set them up for success. So we'll start.
Dude, how good do you think the situation is for a number one overall pick? Have you seen a situation this good for a number one overall pick quarterback before? I mean, he's got like a lot to work with in Chicago right now.
Honestly, there's another situation in this draft that's that good, and it's Minnesota. You have two in this draft. I think whichever one of these guys goes to Minnesota, set up, you have the best receiver in football. You have Jordan Addison. You have TJ Hockenson. You've got a great O-line that can pass protect. You're short on running back, but they could attack that in the draft too. I think it's actually two teams in this draft that have really, really good situations. And I'm going to be honest with you, just offensively, I don't think this next spot is too bad a spot to walk into either with their weapons, with Terry McLaurin, with what Washington, like, they're not devoid of talent. You've got Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. The line isn't as, you know, it's not great like Minnesota's is, but, you know, Skip, we'll move right into Washington here. And I'm still a firm believer that Jaden Daniels should be a top two pick. I think, look, if you look at 2023 alone, he was the best player in college football. I think if you looked at just this year's tape, you would probably take him first. Now, is the track record as long as Caleb Williams' track record of elite play? No, but I think Jaden Daniels is special, and I think if I'm picking second, I think there's no way I'm letting him get by me if I'm Washington.
And honestly, I do disagree with you in terms of who I would take here, which is Drake May. Of course, this is what we think would happen mock draft, but again, looking at the betting odds, Jaden Daniels is currently the betting favorite at minus 170 to be the number two overall pick, and Drake May is plus 135. So if I had the number two pick too, if we're doing based off what we think will happen currently, I still think it's a toss-up, but currently I would give the edge to Jaden Daniels right here. I think that Washington might ultimately select him number two overall on draft night. So here with the Patriots here at number three, obviously trading away Mac Jones to the Jaguars, still have a really big need at quarterback. There's some talks about them moving down from this pick, and I wouldn't be too surprised if that happens. They have Jacoby Brissett there, of course, who can, you know, be a bridge starter. But, you know, if your plan is to just have Jacoby Brissett tank this year and then get the number one pick next year, I mean, I put out an article on PFF.com of the top quarterback prospects that everybody was eligible. My number one 2025 quarterback was like the number four on that big board. So I don't think it's a very good quarterback class next year to really be thinking, oh, let's tank for the top guy next year. I'd be scared to do that if I'm any team right now. So if I'm the Patriots, and I think what they're going to do is take Drake May here and not think twice about it. Again, I would take him with the number two pick and not really have too much qualms with it. But if he falls here to number three, which is looking like increasingly so that he might, I think the Patriots should basically sprint this card in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm with you. I'd much rather. I'm assuming your top quarterback is Carson Beck next year.
Yeah.
I would take Drake May over Carson Beck. Just more athletic, probably even a little bit better arm. I like Carson Beck a lot, but I don't think the Patriots need a lot of stuff. But they need a quarterback first and foremost. And Drake May, I think he's got the arm to throw through the cold weather. He's really athletic. New England's offensive line isn't actually, like, terrible when it's healthy. So I don't think he'll have that problem. The weapons are an issue. It really kind of hurt him that they missed out on Calvin Ridley in free agency because they're not really sitting on like a number one weapon right now. But I think you have to get the quarterback locked in and build from that spot outward. So, you know, top three. Quarterbacks, I'm kind of with you. I don't think New England's trading out. I don't think this next team is trading out either, for as much as the rumors have been, oh, they could get a haul for the fourth pick and we could see four quarterbacks taken in the first four spots. I think the Cardinals still do the obvious thing here and take their number one receiver and take Marvin Harrison Jr. Pretty much skipped out on the combine, not working out at his pro day. Because honestly, the teams went there and told them, like, you have nothing to prove. You don't have to worry. The tape doesn't lie with Marvin Harrison. It would be shocking if he's not some level of wide receiver one for a team, and most likely the Arizona Cardinals. They just need this, right? They really have been trying to replace Larry Fitzgerald for years now as the best receiver in that town. Hollywood Brown goes to the Chiefs. They have a bunch of ancillary weapons that are solid, and Kyler Murray's locked in as the quarterback. Harrison just rounds out that offense in a way that they can actually be competitive. I would not trade down if I'm the Cardinals. I would continue to do the obvious thing and just take Marvin Harrison and let it ride.
Dude, this is like, again, this is maybe a spot for them to trade down. But man, if you look at their receiver room right now, they got Michael Wilson, Chris Moore, who they just signed from the Titans, and Greg Dortch as their top three receivers right now. That might be the worst receiving core in the league. Maybe with the next team on this list that we can have a discussion about, but man, they lost, obviously, Hollywood Brown signed with the Chiefs. Rondale Moore got traded away as well. I mean, they really are hurting in that receiver room. And I think this is the best player on the board, and also it fills a massive, massive need. So I think this is a good pick for the Cardinals here at number four. All right, I got the Chargers here at number five. They're also like the Cardinals. They desperately need a receiver. And, you know, after trading away Keenan Allen to the Bears, Mike Williams signs with the Jets after they cut him. Quentin Johnson, obviously, they took in the first round last year, but he was one of the worst receivers in the league probably last year. So I would be very wary of really relying on him to be your number one guy. I'm tempted here by Malik Nabers. I am. But if we're going by what we think will happen, I think what just happened with the Vikings trading it kind of in a pick swap to obtain the Texans' first-round pick at number 23 overall, that to me doesn't scream, oh, we want to pick someone at 11 and someone at 23. That to me screams, no, we're trying to make a move up to get one of the top quarterbacks, which in this case would be J.J. McCarthy. So we're going to actually do our first trade in this mock draft, Dalton, and do it with the Minnesota Vikings. And I think 11 to 5, what do you think? 11 and 23 would do it? Or you think there's a little bit more you gotta sprinkle in there?
The kind of trade, your trade chart here says that would work and actually be probably even a slight overpay. But if you're moving up to get a quarterback, you generally do overpay a bit. I think we could plug this in as just 11 and 23 straight up for five. And with the circumstances, that would be reasonably fair. Yeah.
Don, I wanted to talk to you about like where else they could move up, because obviously they're trying to move up anywhere. Do you think, how open for business do you think the 3, 4, or even 6 pick with the Giants? How open do you think those picks would be for the Vikings to move up there?
If I was New England or Arizona picking three or four, I would sit tight. I know it's a haul. New England actually, I think more likely than Arizona, maybe, but then they're also stuck at quarterback for another year, probably with Brissett, and obviously have Zappe on the roster still. But I think your picks you're looking at are five, where the Chargers need a lot of stuff. Six, where the Giants need still a lot of help in the trenches, and this is a receiver-heavy draft that they could get one later. And I think number eight with Atlanta, now that they don't need a quarterback, I think their needs, they could take another receiver. I think Atlanta's really interesting if Odunze or Neighbors is still on the board. But if they're going defense, if they're going pass rusher or corner, they can absolutely move down three spots and still get the guy they want. I think probably a Dallas Turner makes the most sense for Atlanta. They could easily, I think, Atlanta may at the end of it all, if the Vikings don't feel like the Giants are going quarterback, eight actually might make the most sense as to not have to give up like a huge haul. They may not have to give up 11 and 23 just to move up to eight. So I think Atlanta's actually still very interesting depending on how the board falls. But doing what we've done here at five gives them the safest bet. If they want McCarthy that bad, then I think you have to get ahead of the Giants just in case Brian Daboll's itching to take a new quarterback.
You got to get ahead of them. And also, I think Sean Payton's probably going to be pretty aggressive with the Broncos, too, to try to get up and get a quarterback, too. So I think them and even the Raiders you got to watch out for, too. I think that's why I think ultimately, and again, I know the conspiracy theory of Jim Harbaugh getting his guy to go as high as possible. Again, I don't think that's playing too much of a part, but he does it here, man, with getting J.J. McCarthy to be a top five overall pick here. So the Vikings will be taking J.J. McCarthy. We've heard that they like him before. Also, it makes sense, too, like you said, with the Giants reportedly having dinner with him, I think, really soon. So I think the Giants are very interested in J.J. McCarthy, too. And I kind of like that whole plan with him going there, sitting behind Drew Lock and Daniel Jones and, potentially waiting a couple of years and starting. I think that's the best case scenario for him. But he goes to the Vikings here, who can still start Sam Darnold for a little bit. But I think J.J. McCarthy's probably been pushed into the starting lineup sooner rather than later in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree with that. And actually, I think, I told you before, I think Minnesota is the best situation with Kevin O'Connell, with Justin Jefferson, with Hockenson, with everything they have. They need to work on the backfield, the defense. I think one of the more underrated stories is how Minnesota's really rounded out the defense in free agency. Van Ginkel, Cashman, Grenard, like they've got some really good players on their defense. They're coming up on defense. Now that the Giants aren't getting McCarthy, now we start looking at the rest of the board. What else do they need? We've been pretty consistent with this in our first couple mock drafts. They need a weapon. They just need a weapon, an established weapon. Brian Daboll, it was the same thing when he was in Buffalo. They needed a weapon. They went and traded for Stephon Diggs. I think they take a guy who's really similar to Diggs in some aspects. Let's go with Malik Neighbors to the Giants. Gives them just a number one movable chess piece threat that finally makes you somewhat fear their passing game. Just one more thing on the Giants, too. I do think Brock Bowers is in play here. I'm pretty sure the overwhelming expectation is that Darren Waller is going to retire. So they're kind of bare at tight end, too. I wouldn't be that shocked if Brock Bowers was the pick there, if they felt that high about him. But I'm going to make this safe pick and take Neighbors and say they have a number one receiver now, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing, besides J.J. McCarthy, which I think they will be interested in, but they kind of shore up the offensive line with signing Jermaine Elumenor, who's a solid even swing tackle if you want to play him there. But I don't think, again, Joe Alt, I love him as a player. I just don't love the fit there in New York with how kind of crowded that tackle room is now with Evan Neal there. I just took a top 10 pick on him a couple years ago. Maybe he could play guard like he did at Alabama, but you got Andrew Thomas, who's your franchise left tackle. Elumenor is a really solid replacement if Neal struggles more. So I like that Malik Neighbors pick, though, because they desperately do need weapons there. Speaking of Joe Alt, though, I'm taking him here to the Titans here at number seven, and I think this is a slam dunk pick for the Titans, who really need a tackle. And they kind of, helped out that receiver room by signing away Calvin Ridley from their division rival, Jacksonville Jaguars. So they got him and DeAndre Hopkins there now to help out Will Levis. But, man, they still need help on that offensive line. Nicholas Petit-Frere is their left tackle. Dylan Raines is their right tackle. They really need a franchise tackle, and Joe Alt is easily that. And also, Brian Callahan, their new head coach's dad, Bill Callahan, is the offensive line coach, and Bill Callahan's a legendary offensive line coach. And again, I think a little bit in that draft room, his dad might have his son's ear and saying, "Hey, go get me Joel, go get me a franchise left tackle." I think that's very likely now, and I think Titans fans are kind of crossing their fingers and toes that Joel will be available there at number seven, and no one in the top six will select him.
Yeah, I totally agree. Safest pick in the draft. And the Titans, you know what? They got Calvin Ridley. They got Tony Pollard. They're actually not that bare all of a sudden at the skill positions. This is just a slam dunk pick. They have to block better. And I think Callahan, both Callahans are going to want to build in the trenches. Take, you know, if Joe Alt, I heard a Colton Miller comp during the combine. If he becomes anything like that, that's a home run pick for sure. Now we start getting fun because Romo Odunze is on the board. But I also want to mess around and make my really fun trade for Eli's entertainment. So if the Falcons feel comfortable at receiver with Drake London, with Darnell Mooney, kind of with Kyle Pitts, because he played less than 22% of his snaps as an inline tight end last year. He's basically a receiver at this point. If they're feeling like Raheem Morris wants to come in and get a foundational defensive player, the pass rush is their weakest spot. So I think the best fit, I think any of the top three pass rushers, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Leiatu Latu, you could make an argument as the best one. I think as a matter of fit and the athleticism he showed at the combine, I'm going to take Dallas Turner here at 8. Okay. Two-point stance, edge rusher at Alabama. Raheem used a lot of five-man looks in L.A., getting a lot of stand-up edge rushing going outside linebacker. It kind of fits Turner a little better. Part of that was to create one-on-one matchups for Aaron Donald. Now, you know, obviously just retired. Absolute legend. Shout out to the GOAT. Dallas Turner, I think, fits them the best. I think the top three pass rushers are all of pretty equal talent. We're going there. And now at the 9th pick, I'm going to mess with you a little bit. Okay. And I brought this up to you, and I'm curious, just for the fun of it, to hear what Eli thinks of it. I'm going to propose a trade to you at 9 here, Max, with the Cincinnati Bengals. And this, I think, only works in this scenario if Romo Odunze is on the board. And you're picking at 9, so I'll let you decide if you want to do this.
Okay.
I'm gonna hand you the 18th pick and T. Higgins for the 9th pick.
Honestly, I would. I wonder if Eli. I don't know if Eli can get his mic on this, but if Eli can message us with what he would do, because I kind of want Eli's take on this before I do anything drastic with his franchise.
I'm here.
Okay. What do you think, Eli?
I don't think the Bengals will do it.
Okay.
Just
it's purely, predicted. Where's the predicted mock track? Not what we would do too.
Yeah. It's not about T either. I think there's a realistic potential where they move T. I think it's more of it being giving up 18. The Bengals as an organization really tend to value their picks, and it's just not something we've seen them do a lot, especially move up in a draft is not something that they've ever done in my lifetime that I can remember. But I mean, it's a fun thought process. I mean, to me, they kind of play a little similar for being like kind of vast body types. I think they're both great in contested catches, stuff like that. So I definitely see that being a cheaper alternative for the Bengals. But to me, I'm not sure if the Bears would buy it because you're getting the cheaper alternative to the T. Higgins.
Yes. Yeah, I get that. I'm going to say no, Dalton, only because this is predictive. I do kind of love it, though, from a T. Higgins and the 18th pick standpoint. But I'm gonna say no, but I do love you throwing it out there because I do think that's a really interesting caveat that we have right now. So I'm not going to do it, but I like it. I'm going to take Romo Odunze here. I'm going to keep it here and get another receiver for Caleb Williams in that offense with, obviously, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Get a jump ball guy like Romo Odunze in there. And it kind of fits their window, too, where they're not paying out big money to receiver. I think this really fits the Bears really well. And I think this is the best-case scenario for the Bears here at number 9. So I'm going to go with Romo Odunze, but I don't hate that. I remember when you texted me that, I kind of thought about it for a little bit. I was like, it kind of makes sense in a lot of ways, but do I think it ultimately will happen? Probably not. So that's why I'm gonna say no for now. But I think it's a really interesting debate that we're gonna have on draft night.
I think it's two good sides of the coin. Again, it works if Odunze's on the board still there, and the Bears. I'll tell you what though, even with what you have there, Moore, Allen, and Odunze, I'm not sure there's a better three in football for Caleb to be throwing to. That's as good as it gets. Keenan Allen in the slot full time. DJ Moore moving around. Odunze contested catches. That's filthy. And it's honestly, I know there's going to be temptation to take a pass rusher there too, but I'll tell you what, if you can stack your offense like that, you're winning the battle. Another team stacking their offense lately is the New York Jets. Totally just overhauled this offensive line with not that much cap space. Tyron Smith, the best pass protector in football last year, Morgan Moses, the third best right tackle in football last year. John Simpson, solid starter. And now yesterday, giving out free sandwiches to go get Mike Williams. Somehow, some way, the Jets, you know, Joe Douglas has a very patient approach, but he's killing free agency, man. He's plugged almost every hole on this offense. And now this becomes, this 10th pick becomes a very interesting pick. There is a lot of arguments being had right now about, is it offensive line? Is it, could it be Odunze if he were on the board? Is it, you know, Joe Douglas took a defensive player last year when nobody thought he would? There's a lot of arguments here with this pick, but I you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the fun pick. I'm going to do it. Let's upgrade it tight end. Upgrade. Hey, he's actually the betting favorite right now.
I know he is the betting favorite. Yeah, he is. Correct.
I think it's pick. I do think it's a very hard decision. You could take Fashanu. You could take Fautanu. You could take if Odunze were on the board at 10, I think they would absolutely look at him. I'm going to make the fun pick here and just now say, in the same way that the Bears would be stacked in your scenario at 9, if you're looking at Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Brock Bowers, Breece Hall might be the best receiving back in the game right now, as that sounds, that's stacked. And then you fix the offensive line. You've completely isolated the X factor of your season at that point to just Aaron Rodgers and his health and his age and his production. So I think that's what they were going for last year, and they didn't actually execute that plan because of the offensive line. I'm going to take Bowers and just go, you know what, this is about as stacked a Jet team as I've ever seen. And if they get pass protection, maybe this time they'll actually be dangerous. I'm going with Bowers.
I
hurt you with this one.
I don't know what the heck I'm going to do here at 11 now with the Chargers. Because they really needed a weapon. I might wait on that and see if I can grab another one at 23, just because I don't think there's a single receiver I would touch here at 11 after the top three. It's tough. I'm kind of thinking corner here. Am I crazy for that?
No, I don't think that's crazy at all. No.
Okay, I think I'm going to go corner here. It's just which one do I go with is the problem. I'm trying to think of like what they would do. Man, this is awful. I really wanted Bowers so bad. I was hoping you were going to go tackle and just and let me have him. But all right, I'm going to go. Damn. Give me Quinyon Mitchell. I think he fits that defense pretty well in what they do at Michigan. I don't think DeJean's going this high, even though I think Harbaugh does like him from Iowa. But yeah, I'm going to go Quinyon Mitchell. I don't love this. I really wanted to grab Bowers there, maybe a receiver at 23 still. But at this point, I can't take a receiver at 11 outside of the top three. And I'm going to go with Quinyon Mitchell to them at 11.
I think that's reasonable. Actually, I think I agree with that pick. I know on our board on the MDS here we've got DeJean above him, but I think Mitchell fits their defense better. I'm not against that. Look, take a prime time defensive player first. Maybe you could think about receiver at 23. Also, remember you have two first round picks. I think it's totally reasonable. I don't think you have to force it at any one spot here. Take the best player that makes you better, and I'm all for it. Quinyon Mitchell's,
and they need corners, dude. They need corners bad. They're hurting a corner right now.
This is the thing with the Chargers that makes the trade down so enticing. They need a lot of stuff. Malik Nabers alone would not fix their problems. They need a lot of stuff on this roster. They are, you know, they've got defensive ends and they've got a quarterback, and otherwise they're and they have safeties. And other than that, they're pretty bare, honestly.
Deanne Leonard is their other outside corner. I don't even know who that is. I never heard that name before in my life. I don't know if you heard. I know Asante Samuel Jr. They have one of the corner spots, but Deanne Leonard right now is right now projected to be the other outside corner. I mean, they need something else there for sure. So I think it's
absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Absolutely. So I feel okay about it, but I wanted Bowers so badly with how much Harbaugh loves tight ends. Damn.
So this Denver pick is another one where they need a lot of stuff, including quarterback. They just traded Jerry Jeudy, who got a ton of money from Cleveland. I couldn't believe that. But the Broncos need just about everything. And to be honest, this would be another good trade down spot. If there's anywhere here that you feel like trading up to 12 for,
not that I see. No.
This for me, this on my side is, I think, the hardest pick in this round because I just don't know. Is it Bo Nix? Do we think
I was gonna say they might take a quarter? Like they are desperate for a quarterback, aren't they? Like,
but they have. I don't know even like how Nix can walk in there and succeed right now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they got Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci as their two quarterbacks on roster right now. So they do need a quarterback.
There's part of me that thinks they just take a best player available and tank it. Like, they actually tank it this year, like the scenario you proposed with New England. But this is the hardest pick because they're stuck outside of the top four quarterbacks or the consensus top four quarterbacks.
Do you think Payton's going to be desperate for his guy, though? Because this is a predicted mock draft. I think Payton might get desperate and reach and try to grab one of them now.
I think the trade down, if there was one, is an ideal scenario because I think he could get Knicks lower than this. I don't think anybody in this range is really begging to have Bo Nix as their quarterback. I think you could trade down a handful, maybe even 10 to 12 spots and still get him. But playing the there's always somebody that reaches a bit card, I'm going to take Nix, and that's a situation I don't love, but man, that kind of is what it is at this point. That's kind of where Denver's at. They have very little ammo to try to move up either and do what Minnesota's done. They kind of got beat to the punch. So I'm going to go with that and say Sean Payton does get his guy and just try to slow build around him.
All right, you're taking Bo Nix then to the Broncos?
Yes, Bo Nix.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. So Bo Nix. All right, the Las Vegas Raiders now on the clock, who... Man, they are also in a weird spot because they also, I mean, they signed Gardner Minshew, I guess, and Aiden O'Connell is still there too. So this might not be as desperate of a quarterback need. It still is very bad though, as the Broncos were. But this is a tough spot too, man, because they could use a lot of stuff too. I think.
What if I offered you something?
I'm here.
Is somebody I want.
Who?
I'm Pittsburgh at 20 and I want to move up to that spot. I'll swap you at 20. Hang on, I have to find the Steelers here.
Okay.
20. Where are the Steelers? There they are.
20.
I'll give you 20. And I'll send you my two third round picks, 84 and 98.
Let's see. I think that would make sense, right? From a value standpoint,
I'm trying to think right now. It's close. I could probably throw in like a fifth rounder next year if you wanted.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I don't think the competition matters. Obviously, we're not drafting too much, but we're not drafting past the first round. But
true.
I'm trying to look at the Raiders depth chart right now and just like where they desperately need something and where it might fit.
There is one spot where they desperately need something.
Yeah, I'm trying to look right now. What are they, corner?
They need a quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if I'm going to take Penix at... Will they take Penix? I don't think they take Penix.
I will
yet.
Hop I don't think
that
in
would
here.
Happen.
I would take 20.
Daniel Jeremiah took Michael Penix at 13 to the Raiders in his latest mock.
But he could still be available at 20.
He could.
He would be available at 20. There's no way.
I will admit to you, there is definitely a guy I want here for the Steelers.
Okay. All right. For the sake of this draft, I'll do that. So 20, 84, 98, next year's fifth for 13.
Next year's fifth. Deal. Let's do it.
All right. Deal. All right. So I guess just tell me who you want to pick, and I because that way we won't mess up the order of this. Who do you want here? I'll just take the Steelers.
I made this trade to get Talisi Fuaga for the Steelers.
All right.
I think there are very few more perfect fits than Fuaga with Arthur Smith's offense. I'll move Broderick Jones to left tackle. Fuaga gets to come in and run the same exact run schemes he did at Oregon State under Arthur Smith, and he is the exact for me. He would be the ideal. If he ever fell to 20, that'd be a dream. I'd be a little worried about some tackle needy teams here. You know, the Rams might think about it. The Bengals might still think about it. Trent Brown's only on a one-year deal. The Saints here at 14 might think about a tackle. That's a spot for me to guarantee that I get Fuaga in Pittsburgh. That's with Arthur Smith and the outside zone stuff, I think would be an absolute home run in Pittsburgh.
All right, so I'm taking Cooper DeJean here for the Steelers at number 13 over. No, I'll take Talisi Fuaga. All right, I actually love that. I think that fits the offense really well. So I actually love that as a Steelers fan. So 13, Talisi Fuaga to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you're up there with the Saints at 14 now.
14, Same thing. Tackle. Tackle's been an issue. Now it's not Fuaga, although maybe it wouldn't have been with Ryan Ramczyk anyway, but I'm not taking those chances. I'm not taking any chances with that if I'm Pittsburgh. Now with the Saints, I need pass protection. I need a left tackle. I'm going to go. There's been a debate between these two guys lately, the two left tackles, big left tackles sitting here on the board. I'm going to take Olufoshanu here for the Saints. I think his stock is kind of dipping for I'm not really sure what reason. He didn't finish the combine because I believe he pulled up with a hammy run in the 40. Faotanu is rightfully his stock is way, way up. But I still think Fashanu, honestly, is the most consistent, best pass protector in this draft. And I'm going to go with it. If I'm the Saints, I just plug and play right in there. Probably move Trevor Penning inside the guard and let it rip.
Yeah, Penning's been a disaster for them, and I agree with that. For Olu being, I still think Olu might be the number two tackle in this draft. I would have him probably as O2-2 in this draft. I don't agree. I know the strength in the run game, but we knew that already. Like, we knew that for 2 years now, and now all of a sudden how it's all of a sudden dropping him significantly is crazy when we've known this for a while, and now he's going from a top, you know, definitely top 10 pick to now maybe a top 20 pick now. I don't get that too much. So I agree with that at 14. So I want to go back to the Steelers real quick. So you want to put Broderick Jones, I'm assuming, to left tackle then, right? And put Fuaga at right tackle? Okay, cool.
Yep.
That's what I expected. All right, cool. I like that. All right, Colts here at 15. I think they really need a corner still. Brought back Kenny Moore, which I thought was a great signing for them. Brought back a lot of guys. Actually, they did a really good job of bringing back a lot of their key pieces, like Michael Pittman Jr., Grover Stewart, both signed back as well. I still think they can use an outside corner, though, as Dallas Flowers and Juju Brents are really kind of the two starters for them. So I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean here. I think that's a guy that would fit their scheme really well, and I think – again, I think there's an argument for him to be the top corner in this draft with a lot of other guys, and I think the Colts here would really like this pick here at 15.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree with this pick. You run a high amount of zone coverage, I think, more than anybody else. We've talked about this with DeJean. I'll tell you a sleeper, too, with DeJean. Don't be shocked if he's at least in the conversation for the Bears at 9 also. It's a really good fit in Eberflus's defense. But I think these two teams, the Bears and the Colts, those are two very ideal teams for him. He can succeed there. Ton of zone. And Juju Brents honestly showed some flashes last year in coverage. Keeping Kenny Moore is massive, one of the best nickels in the game. I think it's a good pick to shore up their secondary with DeJean, like a solid. I don't know if he'll be the best corner in football, but that's a really solid, safe pick that makes them better. Seattle here at 16, this is rough. I'll be honest with you, they've had a rough free agency period. They had to cut both their starting safeties. Both their starting linebackers are gone. They replaced them at least one with Terrell Dodson from Buffalo. They need major help in the trenches, and I every time I get to this pick, I'm torn between two options. But they lost their starting left guard Damian Lewis in free agency. They missed out on every other free agent interior offensive lineman. I have no idea who would be playing the interior right now in Seattle. So in the past, I've gone D tackle here. I think it still could make some sense, but I'm going to play kind of the desperate factor and go with Jackson Powers Johnson. They have Cross and Lucas at tackle, but I have no idea who's playing on the interior right now for the Seahawks. At least if I get Powers Johnson, I know at least I have my center and the best center in the draft, and we can work from there. But I as currently constructed, I have no idea how Seattle's going to pass protect next year.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think Jackson Powers Johnson, with how desperately need interior offensive line, guard, and center, and the fact that he was really good at guard, and then obviously the best center in the country this past year, I think that's a really good pick for the Seahawks. So I know could still use an edge defender too. I was kind of looking at that for them potentially with some of the guys still on the board here, but I think that's a really solid pick for the Seahawks as well, taking JPJ there. All right, 17, the Jaguars. This is an interesting pick too, man, because I think they can go a few ways. I think they could still use help in that secondary with Ronald Darby and Tyson Campbell right now as our outside corners. I really like Tyson Campbell, but I think Ronald Darby, they could definitely upgrade there. Yeah, it's tough because I think there's some guys here I like for them, but obviously they can still use tackle with Cam Robinson and Anton Harrison, but I don't know if I take Troy Fultano. Dude, they need a receiver so badly. I think I'm going to take a receiver here. You're trotting out Gabe Davis, Zay Jones, and Christian Kirk as your top three. So what's that face you're making? You don't like it?
There's a lot of ways. This is tough. This is a hard one. This is a hard one. I won't lie to you. Yeah, another outside guy, like a real route runner, would be nice for them. I'm just trying to think, because signing Eric Armstead kind of filled that hole.
Yeah.
I feel like they're set on the D-line, right?
And they're not going to give up on Josh. I mean, obviously, they got Josh Allen in the franchise tag, and I feel like they're not going to give up on Trayvon Walker just yet.
No.
They're not going to take an edge. Yeah, they're not going to take an edge, I don't feel like, right? So I'm looking at receiver. I'm looking at potentially tackle. And then a corner or something like that, too.
Looking at both of Mel Kiper and DJ's mock, they both have Terrion Arnold here.
I was just going to say Terrion Arnold. I kind of think, damn, they really need a receiver. I want to take Terrion Arnold because I think it's not a reach as much as a receiver would be. But, man, Trevor Lawrence is going to be hurting next year with those pass catchers. I hate letting Calvin Ridley walk and then your replacement is Gabe Davis. Like I don't think it's very good. But I'll take Terrion Arnold here. But
what if is it also another trade down spot?
No, I'll keep Terrion Arnold because I already selected him in my MDS that I got right now.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, it's already there.
Yeah. I already submitted the card in. The card's already submitted. I can't go back now. Who are you thinking though for that pick? Who are you thinking to trade up though?
Maybe Philadelphia if they wanted Terrion Arnold, and if the Jags were leading receiver, they could probably get it. What's that? Five spots later.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Philadelphia to get something in the secondary there.
That's fine. All right. Bengals at 18. Terrion Arnold and take it to the Jaguars, though. So Bengals at 18. So we'll call in our resident Bengals expert, Eli, here. Eli, I know the pick that you're going with here, right? Please.
Do it. I was going to do it, too. Do it.
It's so tough now because the good thing is before the Trent Brown news, it was basically the Bengals had a gaping hole on their offensive line. And I think a lot of the pre-draft process for a lot of people and Bengals fans has been going under the assumption that Byron Murphy's not there, Fatanu's probably not there. So it's basically your taste. And do you like Latham? Do you like Mims? Do you like Newton? So for me in this situation, I'm not as high on Latham as I think a lot of people. I think the Bengals would probably lean line here either way. I think there is some real murmurs about cornerback. I could see them getting deep there. Louis Narumo is a DB guy. But I think they're going trenches. To me, if they see Fatanu here and they don't take him, I think that's a bad call personally, just because he has so much versatility on the offensive line. You have a guy like Trent Brown now, but he has missed some games, and he can play a lot of places on the offensive line. It hurts me personally to pass up on Murphy or Newton, but I think I'm going to take Fatanu here.
Damn.
Wow.
It's killing the dream, Eli, of having Johnny Newton as a third host of our show coming in every week to the PFF studio.
He's taking the high road and protecting Joe Burrow. I love it.
For me, it hurts the most because I blame you guys. If Fatanu was not here, I would not have taken – it would have been Johnny.
So it's our fault then.
Yeah. What a call. What a call. I kind of like – hey, take the best player on your board, man. What a call.
I don't hate it either.
I just love his versatility.
I hate it from our show standpoint. And having Johnny Newton in the same city as us would be brutal, but it is a good pick here.
Fatanu's versatility is like a big plus for me.
Yeah. We know.
Whoa.
You're breaking my heart, Eli. Trust me, it breaks my heart.
And the Ravens are going to do something crazy, take Jerzon, and it's going to hurt me so bad.
Oh, that'd be brutal. All right, Rams here at 19. I have 19, right? Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I'm thinking edge for them here. I think they could stand to add an edge rusher here for Los Angeles. And I just... there's a lot of ways they can go too, man, because they got some needs. But I think I'm gonna go edge here. I'm gonna take one of the top edges on the board, and I think I would take Laiatu here, but I think Jared Verse will be the guy that goes above him. So I'm gonna take Jared Verse here because I think he's gonna ultimately go above Laiatu in the draft. So I'll take Jared Verse here.
I think either one of them fits. Part of it's a scheme thing. I think Verse is a little more explosive. Latu's just got an arsenal like crazy. Yeah. I don't think between the two there's a wrong pick there. I might have thought about secondary, Also, a Nate Wiggins or a Kool-Aid McKinstry for sure, because they were the Rams, I believe, were 30th in the NFL. No, actually, no, I think they were dead last in the NFL in coverage grade last year. So definitely helping the secondary. I love their signing, going and getting Darius Williams.
I was just
going
to say Darius Williams is huge, yeah. And what? Cameron Curl, too, the guy at safety. That helped out the secondary, too, yeah.
The Williams signing is probably one of my five favorite signings from free agency. He was already there once. He's such a smooth zone corner that fits their defense. He had two great years in Jacksonville. Absolutely love that they got him back. So that helps. And Cam Curl's a really good player, really underrated player. I would think about secondary there, but I totally get it. I was almost wondering if you would go Murphy or Newton as the direct Aaron Donald replacement too.
I don't hate that either. Yeah.
There's anything – here's what I'll say with the Rams. Literally anything that improves their defense – is the right move.
I feel like Kobe Turner had a really good rookie year, whereas like the edge spot, I'm still like, they don't have much at edge. Yeah. So I feel a little bit better about Kobe Turner having him there, but yeah, at edge, I think they're really hurting right now.
Totally. I think they could use this entire draft on defense, and I think it would make plenty of sense. Yeah. If you want your Raiders pick at 20, you can have it, because I stole 13 from you.
Oh, no, I'll let you I'll take the Raiders at 20.
You already know what I would do.
Yeah, you'd take one of these D tackles, right?
Mm-mm.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Mm-mm.
What would you take? A corner?
I got Christian Wilkins. I'm good.
Oh, you know, you would take Penix. Yeah, of course you would take Penix.
I sure would. Absolutely. Why would they do it? Because they're sitting on.
No. I said I don't know if they would do it. I don't know if they would though.
Oh, I don't see why not. Why couldn't?
Yeah. Screw it.
Aiden O'Connell's enough of a threat to Penix that he shouldn't make the roster.
I'm just saying I'm trying to get in the mind of the NFL right now. I think he will end up being a first round pick, but all right, I'll take Penix here. I'll do it.
Unless there's somebody trading up all the way to this spot, which to me this is too high to trade up from the second round to take a Penix when I think about the teams that like could do it. And I still don't understand at all. Why Penix is being thought of a lot of places like a second round pick. It makes I think he's the fourth best quarterback in this draft. I really do.
Yeah. All right, I'll take Penix.
I get McCarthy's ceiling and all that stuff, but that's where I would go. I think you have it locked in. If you want to start Minshew straight out, cool. I think the other thing that makes sense to me here for the Raiders is right tackle. Also, they lost Elmanor to the Giants, and they kind of after they're like patching together the right side of that offensive line. But I just think like I don't see why Penix isn't being still thought of as a first round pick. I am.
The right tackle's not a bad call either, because they do have Thayer Munford start. I'll take Penix here as kind of, because I'll act like this is your pick. So I don't want to be up for three straight picks here. So I'll take Penix here, and then here at the Dolphins. I might go with one of these. Now I'm thinking between tackle and D tackle for them, the Dolphins. I think. Those are the two. Like, I mean, I think, because obviously I think Armstead's getting up there in age. He's always hurt too. Austin Jackson had a pretty nice bounce back, but they obviously lost Christian Wilkins. I'm gonna go D tackle. I think Christian Wilkins' loss is huge, and I think the D tackles are better than any offensive tackle that are on the board right now. I don't know who's gonna go first though between Murphy and I'll take Byron Murphy, even though it pains me to say that, because I think he will go above Johnny Newton. But I do. Johnny Newton still, I think, my D tackle one, but I think in terms of what I think will happen, I think Murphy will go above him here. So I'll take him here to the Dolphins, who love athleticism too. They love athleticism in every position, and Murphy has that in abundance. So
yeah, oh, big time. No, I think he had the highest pass rush grade in college football last year. I believe he did.
He did, and Sweat had the highest run D grade. Yeah, then both of them. It's ridiculous what they had in those two D tackles.
Just filthy, those two guys. But now the direct replacement for Wilkins is big time, because that's going to be a huge loss on the inside. The Dolphins' run defense, low-key, was really good last year, and Wilkins is generally the biggest reason for that. 22 with Philadelphia. Let me think. I would have thought about, I think I did it in the last mock, or maybe the last written mock that I did, I would think about Powers Johnson here if he was here to replace Kelsey. Losing Jason Kelsey is not a small deal. He was still, I think, the third best center in football last year, even at his age. So that would be a thought if he was here. But they have to get better in the secondary. man. They just have to. I know they need another receiver. This draft is stacked, honestly, on both receivers and corners. I'm actually, instead of the top guy left here in Wiggins, I'm going to slide down a little bit because I think it's a good fit for their defense. I'm going to take Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Nice.
At 22. I just, again, Slay and Bradbury are both on the wrong side of 30. They signed Gardner Johnson to play kind of his usual safety slot hybrid role, but they need help. They need all the help they can get in the secondary. And a linebacker, too, but there's not really a spot here. I don't think Peyton Wilson would go that high at 22. Maybe the Eagles or another team could trade down a few spots. But if they can't cover anybody any better than they did last year, I don't know how they stand a chance. So I'm going corner. I'm going Kool-Aid there.
Dude, I keep telling everyone, I think Kool-Aid still might be my CB1 in this draft, man. I love Kool-Aid McKinstry. I know that's a hot take for a lot of people, but I don't think the athletic question marks are enough for me to move off of how amazing his tape was these last 2 years. And he's a big reason why Terron Arnold, I keep saying this, he's a big reason why Terron Arnold is where he is right now, because they just avoided Kool-Aid at all costs, and Arnold got a lot of targets because of it and was able to show what he could do. So I love Kool-Aid. I still think he should be a first-round pick. Will he ultimately? I don't know. It'll probably be back end of one of the final picks of the first round and then maybe right beginning of the second round. But I love Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I think he might be the top corner in this year's draft. All right, so it actually worked out for me here for the Chargers at 23. You got Quinyon Mitchell at 11, and then you're taking the receiver I would have taken at 11 if I did take a receiver, and that's Brian Thomas Jr. So I'm going to take him here to the Chargers. And they just added another receiver to a receiving core that desperately needs weapons right now, as Quentin Johnston is currently probably your number one receiver. So I'll take Brian Thomas Jr. and be pretty happy about it.
That one hurt me because I really pretty much every mock I've done, I've gotten Brian Thomas to Dallas because I think that's a good fit. And maybe I should have traded up a couple spots to do it because I really, really think Brian Thomas would fit in Dallas really well.
Yeah.
Oh, now I. Well, this shouldn't be that hard, actually. I think, you know what? Dallas, they need help on the O-line, don't they?
Yeah, and there's a lot of. We're letting some tackles drop here that I don't think are actually going to fall. Like Latham and
Milton. Well, there's going to be. This is how stacked this draft is that this list of names is still sitting in front of us.
Yeah.
This is something here. I think, you know what? They lost Tyron Smith. They're probably going to move Tyler Smith out to left tackle. I think that's right. And then they'll kind of have a hole at left guard instead, but they still need a right tackle. Terrence Steele, I think was near the league lead in pressures allowed last year. At right tackle, I'm going to go for an improvement there. Let's put J.C. Latham in Dallas and plug him in at right tackle, and you've at least got Tyler Smith and Latham at the tackle spots. And they really, I mean, they're going to have some needs on the interior too. Tyler Biotish went to Washington with Dan Quinn. Tyler Smith is moving out. Obviously, Zach Martin's an animal still at right guard, but they've got some issues on the interior. But I'm going to lock in at right tackle there and let it rip from that standpoint. At least they're set at three of the five spots. And if maybe they feel good about maybe they could move Steele inside, maybe to left guard, that could be a thing. But I'm going to shore up their offensive line. Dallas has probably had a rougher free agency period than any team. They had no money. They haven't figured out the Dak Prescott thing yet. I think the only external signing they've made was Eric Kendricks, which is a good signing, but he's also, 32 or 33 years old? And, you know, they got him 1 year and I think $5 million. So Dallas has had a rough offseason so far, but at least if they can shore up the offensive line and still protect Prescott, they'll be okay.
Yeah. I'm in the same thinking here at 25. I'm going to go with an offensive lineman. I'm just kind of between two players right now, between Grant Barton and Amarius Mims, because I think they're kind of set at right tackle with Zach Tom. So that's kind of makes me think maybe they wouldn't go Amarius Mims, and they kind of need a left tackle with Rashid Walker, who I can tell he's a Penn State fan, was not that good at Penn State. So I wouldn't be comfortable starting him at left tackle for an NFL team. It just depends. I would take Mims above Barton if you think that you could start him or Tom there. But the thing that makes me think Barton might be a better play is that they kind of need help in the interior too, man, with Sean Ryan. I like Elgton Jenkins at left guard, but even Josh Myers at center. Ah, man, I'm stuck here because I think Barnes got positional versatility that you would really love in that Packers O-line, but I think Mims is just a better prospect. I'll go with Barton here just because I think he fits them better, but it's tough to pass on Mims here when they do need a left tackle, and maybe Tom or Mims can play left tackle, but I think the fit Barton makes a little bit more sense there for them.
I totally agree. I've even had a couple of mocks. It might even been our last mock where I had Zach Frazier as an option for them too. Yeah. I think the interior is where they need help more than tackle. Walker is like passable. Like I could probably at this point call him something close to average. And Tom, who was always a PFF favorite, I think was he at Wake Forest?
Yes. Out of Wake Forest. Yeah, excellent at Wake Forest. Excellent at Wake Forest. Yeah.
He was always a PFF favorite at Wake Forest, and they got a steal on him later in the draft. So I think they're a little more set at tackle than they are on the inside. Keep in mind, too, they lost John Runyon. He went to the Giants also.
Yeah. Bakhtiari's gone, too. Yeah.
Bakhtiari's gone. They really are trying to kind of establish their pass protection. So, no, I like that. I like Barton, and you could try to play him at left tackle. Why not?
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
he's played center before. He probably played guard. Yeah. That's why I think the versatility helps him out there.
It's not at all like he did a bad job of it at Duke. I mean,
no.
But yeah, good pick there for the Packers. Tampa Bay is a weird one because I think they're kind of in a spot. They spent most of free agency re-signing guys, right? They tagged Winfield. They re-signed Evans. They re-signed Baker Mayfield. They got to work on extensions for Winfield and Tristan Wirfs. There's a lot of internal stuff going on. They haven't been able to add too much outside other than Jordan Whitehead, who's been there before, been successful, was successful with the Jets. Cool. Traded Carlton Davis. It's really been about maneuvering money for them. I think they're in a spot as the lowest graded team that made the playoffs to just take the best player at a spot they need. Jerzon Newton is the best player left on our board here, but they're kind of set with Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey. That's like that's the one spot I really wouldn't go. I think there's a ton of arguments you can make here. You could go corner to replace Davis. You could go linebacker. Devin White's gone and Levante David's playing it 1 year at a time. And KJ Britt's a solid player, but I don't know that he's like an all pro level. He's probably not like an all pro level, like Bobby Wagner type of guy. Right. Or I think where I'm leaning, because they kind of have kind of some young kids on the edge.
Yeah,
kind of set inside. Shaq Barrett's gone. The injuries kind of messed him up as time went on. I think I'm going just on, like, for me, the best player left on the board is Laiatu Latu. I'm going with that. And I think they've got, you know, Yaya Diaby had a really good rookie year. Vea and Kancey inside. I think Kancey, once he puts a little more muscle on, is going to be really, really good. But Latu with that arsenal, with the pass rush arsenal, and just another guy killed the podium in a different way than Newton did. But man, just killed it. That was a top five podium for me too. But no, Latu, I think on talent alone, I think the Bucs are in a position to take the most talented player. And I think Latu makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. I think he does too. I think I was the pick I would have gone with too if I had the Buccaneers pick right there. They still need help on the edge, and I think Laiatu Latu, again, he might be edge one for me in this draft. I truly think he and Kool-Aid are getting really slept on when they don't deserve to be. So I love Laiatu Latu, especially there to the Buccaneers who run that kind of 3-4 defense. I think he fits that perfectly for them. So 27 here for the Cardinals. I'm between two players, but I kind of know who I'm going to side with here just based on value. I'm between Jerzon Newton and I'm between Nate Wiggins because I think they really need help at corner. And they can still use help at D-tackle, although they signed Bilal Nichols, who's a solid player enough for them. But I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins here because I think they really, really need help at corner. And I think obviously it's a more valuable position than D tackle. So I hate doing to our guy, Johnny, man, but I think, you know, the Cardinals has got to go in and take valuable players at valuable positions to get Marvin Harrison Jr. at receiver, get Nate Wiggins at corner. I think that makes the most sense for them, going into the draft right now.
Well, you just made my next pick really hard. You took Nate Wiggins. Okay. Nate Wiggins. Yep. You did. Nate Wiggins. Okay. Oh, you made this decision a little harder for me now.
Are you not thinking receiver?
There's several different things, man. I think there's at least three, maybe even four different ways the Bills could go here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has to be a receiver. Hmm. Any thoughts on swapping down one pick? You want to move up one pick if you're the Lions?
I love the whole Johnny Newton to Detroit thing, but I don't think they're going to do anymore if they're getting DJ Reader. So,
well, not that. Is there anything else you want?
While you were talking, I was trying to decide who I was going to pick for the Lions. So,
I'd be glad to move down a spot and let you go first if you want to hand me like. Hell, I don't know. If you want to, what do you have? Fourth? You don't have the Lions? No, they gave a fourth round pick for Carlton Davis. I'm trying to find their.
Lions are in a tough, tough spot right now.
If you wanted to hand me, like, maybe.
I knew who I'm picking now. I don't think my decision is going to affect you at all in terms of what you're going to do. So I'm going to stick here. Because I don't think I'm not afraid of what you're going to do. You're not going to pick them, so I'm going to stick here and make you pick someone at 28. I think they go receiver personally. I think they would go with Mitchell. I would say Adonai Mitchell. Honestly, if they're going to take anyone,
I'm going to go against it. There's something in my gut, especially with the way their free agency and some of their cap cuts went. There's something in my gut that tells me Tyler Newbin's a fit there.
Okay.
They run a lot of two high, especially cover two. You know, at Minnesota, he ran a lot of four, a lot of two high sets also. But I believe Micah Hyde is still a free agent. I don't think he's coming back. Jordan Poyer went to Miami. They re-signed Taylor Rapp, but if Taylor Rapp's your best safety, I think you're in a little bit of trouble if he's your like top number one safety. They're better at corner actually than I thought they were. With obviously Rasul Douglas came in there and made an impact, and Christian Benford had a really, really good year. That sure looks like they whiffed on Kair Elam. So I'm not desperate for corner there. I thought about linebacker, I thought about receiver, but I think Tyler Newbin is clearly the best safety in this draft. And I know there's still a lot of veteran guys out on the free agent market, but I think they shore up that spot with the starters having already left.
Okay. I don't hate that at all. I am in a tough spot now with the Lions because I was looking at it, and actually the guy who I think I was going to take, I'm still going to take him, I think, but I forgot they got Kevin Zietler. So that kind of shores up one of the spots. And then Graham Glasgow is not bad. But and Frank Ragnar obviously is one of the best centers in the league. I was thinking about Zach Frazier here, and I think I still will do it. But man, I forgot they got Kevin Zietler, which kind of throws a wrench in it. But I'll take Zach Frazier here, and I think that's probably the pick. I think he's a Dan Campbell guy too. It seems like Dan Campbell's gonna love him when he turns his tape on. So I'll take Zach Frazier here.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Huh?
I would have gone Mitchell there.
I was also thinking about receiver. Yeah,
I would have gone Mitchell there, totally. You know what? Actually, and I think I'm gonna go Mitchell here. Actually,
I think they're taking a receiver. I would be surprised if they go somewhere else.
I'm having a trade thought. You got to do it. This is the fun part. I have a trade thought because we have not been able to talk about this team because of the way the draft is and the way they've traded some things. I'm going to go. Let me get a chart going here to see how this shakes. Let's see. I don't think I have to do that much. I'm going to move up from 33 with Carolina up to 30.
Okay.
I'm going to send Baltimore the 33 and the 101 because we have yet in any mock draft, because we haven't gone past the first round to talk about the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to send them pick 101 to move up three spots.
Got it. All right.
And I'm going to get Carolina into the first round, and I'm going to have them
take Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell. Yeah. I'm going to do that. And then I really like the way things are coming together there. They built the offensive line in free agency. I love the Deontay Johnson trade. To me, they were going to cut Dante Jackson anyway. They got Deontay Johnson for almost nothing. And he's at the very least a solid two. If you're walking into next year with Mitchell and Deontay Johnson and, you know, and maybe Jonathan Mingo develops. They still have Chenault. I think all of a sudden, if they were to get Mitchell, and there's some other guys here they could take, I'm sure they're thinking about a Keon Coleman, Pearsall, McConkie, all those guys. But I'll get him into the first round here to get a look at him. I think Adonai Mitchell would be the ideal pick for them, whether it be a 33 or moving up a few spots like this. I'm going here with Mitchell.
He feels like the kind of receiver the Panthers would love, too. Like, he feels like their kind of archetype is what they looked for in receiver in the past, too. So I like that pick a lot, and I think that's a worthy trade-up for them, honestly. Especially with the next, you know, the Chiefs at 32 there might take a look at him. So if you really like Adonai Mitchell that much, it makes sense to move up to get him. All right, I'm here with the 49ers here at 31. I'm not really thinking twice about this one. I'm taking Amarius Mims. They desperately need a right tackle really badly, and Mims is a guy that's going to go a lot higher than this, I think. So they really need help on the offensive line, and I think Amarius Mims falling here to 31 is a dream scenario for the 49ers. So I'm taking him and not really thinking twice about it.
There is one guy who I might have thought about right there, and I'm really going to heavily think about here. This, you just made this fun, because I have been on the Ladd McConkie to the Chiefs boat this entire time. Now, I could be consistent and just keep doing the same thing over and over. That'd be fun. Or we can kind of accept the fact that receiver is not the only Chiefs need. They do, you know, so they need a left tackle. They do need probably one more receiver, but Hollywood Brown's a good signing. Being real. A one-year flyer. You know, last year he was playing with backup quarterbacks, and he had, I believe, a heel injury that held him out the last few weeks of the year. Hollywood could walk in there as the number two and be open a lot with Rice and Kelsey and Pacheco and all that. Left tackle would be tempting here. Especially, I think Jordan Morgan would be really, really tempting here. But also, we've heard GMs talk about how deep an offensive tackle class this is. This is something they could attack later, and kind of, they improvised it last year and they won another Super Bowl. So, you know, and Jawan Taylor, hopefully they just get him to line up a little further forward on the line. There's a value play here, and I think it would just be a lot of fun. Let's put Johnny Newton on the Super Bowl champs.
Wow.
And put him next to Chris Jones.
No.
And let it rip from there. Let's do it.
Wow.
I know Eli hates me all of a sudden. He's gonna hate me for that one. But I'll tell you what, especially all of the blitz stuff they get into, all the fun stuff they do up front. And Chris Jones obviously just signed his massive, massive extension. Newton, Jones, Karloftis. I feel like there's another edge player I'm missing in there, and I can't think of it. They blitz a ton. They blitz their corners.
Took Anudike Uzama in the first round last year. Maybe he might get more involved. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, he didn't play a whole lot this year. They didn't feel like he was like an every snap kind of guy yet. But I'll tell you what, stack up some first round picks on that D line, and Chris Jones next to Johnny Newton just sounds fun, doesn't it?
You did this to yourself, Eli. You did this to yourself when you didn't take Johnny Newton to the Bengals. I hope you know that. I hope you feel good about that, honestly, because you did this to yourself. Hurts. I hope you feel good about Troy Fatanu at 18, because you could have had Johnny Newton there at 18. But
I ruined the NFL for everybody. Chris Jones and Johnny, I mean, it's over.
I swear I didn't do it out of spite. I swear. It was just it's an idea that came to – I would have seriously thought about him at 31 for the Niners too.
Yeah.
They don't have – other than Hargrave, they don't have a whole lot on the inside.
As a replacement for Armstead too.
Yeah, Armstead's gone. I mean, you're looking at Javon Hargrave, and I'm not sure what else on the inside. There's not a ton of – that's kind of the price you pay when you pay all that money for a couple of guys in Bosa and Hargrave. But that's one I would have thought about. I totally respect Mims, though, with San Francisco. They both trenches, they need help on both sides. And for their sake, I hope they don't trade Brandon Ayuk, because that becomes a whole other problem if he's gone. But
yeah,
I just, something about Newton, Chris Jones, man, that just sounds fun.
That is hot. All right, so for our audio only listeners, so I apologize to the people who watch this channel, but let's just go over the first round real quick. So at number one, Caleb Williams going to the Bears, Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders at 2, Drake May going to the Pats at 3, Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals at 4, a trade up for the Vikings getting JJ McCarthy at 5, Malik Nabers at 6 to the Giants, Joe Alt at 7 to the Titans, Dallas Turner to the Falcons at 8, Roma Dunze to the Bears at 9, Brock Bowers at 10 to the Jets, Quinyon Mitchell to the Chargers at 11 via the trade with the Vikings, Bo Nix at 12 to the Broncos, Steelers trading up to get Talisa Fuaga at 13, Olu Fashanu at 14 to the Saints, Cooper DeJean at 15 to the Colts, Jackson Paris Johnson at 16 to the Seahawks. Terron Arnold at 17 to the Jaguars. Troy Fatanu at 18 to the Bengals. Jared Verse at 19 to the Rams. Michael Penix Jr. at 22 to the Raiders via the trade down. Byron Murphy at 21 to the Dolphins. Kool-Aid McKinstry at 22 to the Eagles. Brian Thomas Jr. to the Chargers at 23 via the trade down. J.C. Latham at 24 to the Cowboys. Graham Martin at 25 to the Packers. Laiatu Latu at 26 to the Bucks. Nate Wiggins at 27 to the Cardinals. Tyler Newman at 28 to the Bills. Zach Frazier at 29 to the Lions. Adonai Mitchell to the Panthers at 20 via trade up. Marius Mims at 31 to the 49ers. And Johnny Newton going to these defending Super Bowl champions, getting the number one player in the draft, according to the PFF College Football Show. Johnny Newton going to the Chiefs there at 32. Fun mock draft, Don. I kind of like the whole trades thing that we're doing with this, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it'll be even wilder. There's so many, you know, even the one I texted you about, the Bears and Bengals the other day. There's so many scenarios you could just come up with for the fun of it that it makes actually doing this accurately impossible. I think the only two picks we actually, we don't even agree on the second pick. It's the only pick we feel good about is probably number one, and the trades are casting some doubt over pick number four even. I would leave that in there, but how many I don't think there's more than three or four of these picks we actually feel like are gonna happen. I think it's like Caleb and maybe Marvin and maybe Joe Alton. That's it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So we got a lot more stuff coming out for the draft. Obviously, we're like a month away now for the draft, man. I think you'll be in Cincinnati for the draft. We have some exciting stuff coming on for actual draft weekend. We'll get into once we get actual closer to the NFL draft, man. But yeah, another mock draft in the books, man. We're going to be doing some more mocks in the future, including an all eligible mock draft, where it's basically a mock draft, but everybody in college football is eligible. We're talking 2025 prospects. We're talking 2026 prospects. Everybody is eligible for that mock draft. But for Dalton Wassman, for producer Eli, I'm Max Shadrick, and we'll see you guys next week with a brand new video.